As we've been reporting this morning, holidaymakers have been ordered to leave the New South Wales South Coast before the situation deteriorates again this weekend. But evacuation centres remain open for those who live in the area and have nowhere else to go. The New South Wales Rural Fire Service says 382 homes were destroyed in Tuesday's South Coast fires. That's the number, at least at the moment. David Bone is a councillor with the New South Wales Health Department. He's at the evacuation centre in Beegan in southeastern New South Wales. David, thank you very much for joining us on RN Breakfast this morning.
Yeah, good day, Cathy.
You've been at the evacuation centre for a couple of days now. Can you give us a sense of just how many people are there and how people are faring?
Yeah, look, we did have quite a large crowd as soon as some of the roads to Canberra opened up again. A lot of people have heeded the advice to go and they packed up and left after that. But I think that the challenge is that it's such a broad range of experiences that people who are presenting to the evacuation centre have had. It's stressful for everybody, but it ranges across, you know, people have lost their homes, people have lost their pets, you know, people tragically even have lost loved ones. And then at the other end of the spectrum are people who've never encountered something like this before and are in an evacuation centre, and that alone can be very stressful. So it's a mix of being able to deal with a broad range of different experiences and different emotions that people are feeling.
Are you the only person, a councillor on the ground there?
No, look, there's plenty of support. There's plenty of support for the people here at the Bega Evacuation Centre. There's a wide range of other agencies that are here providing support, logistical support, and I think that's the challenge that people face. When you are facing grief and loss, you've got two things going on. One is the logistical thing. Where do I live? Where do I go? What am I going to do for clothing? As well as the bigger mental issues about how do I deal with this overarching grief that's come across me.
So you've been, a drought counsellor, and you're now there at the evacuation centre. How do you approach someone who's experienced such trauma in these bushfires? How do you start to help someone process that?
It's about hearing what they've got to say, and that's the most important thing. It's not what I've got to say, it's what they want to say, and giving them an opportunity to say all the things that they want to say. You know, something really terrible has happened to these people, and that changes the assumptions that you have about the world, about how the world works and where you fit into it. And so, you know, you've got to find a new way home, and I think that's the process of grief. It's about helping people to say, okay, well, your world has changed. Yes, that's true. It's not something you're going to get over. Your world has changed significantly. Let's start walking ahead about how we're going to see what that new world, what your new reality is going to look like.
How much of your job is providing people with practical support for those who've lost homes, clearly those who've lost family members or friends, pets? How do you assist them in terms of just the practical issues that they need to tackle at a time of high stress?
It is a time of high stress, and what we do know about stress is that it just makes making decisions really hard. You just go, I just don't want to make any of these really, really big decisions, and you're not in a good place to be making great decisions either. And I think that's part of the process of counselling, is to just give you a little bit of clear air so you can say, well, let's talk about the bigger issues, the grief, the loss that's occurred to you, so you can think about that. And hopefully if that just gives you just a little bit of respite, maybe that might be enough to make some of those other decisions and get on with the challenges that you're going to face, the very logistical challenges.
I imagine for some at least, being in an evacuation centre in this sort of trauma would be very difficult to actually start looking at your own emotions and dealing with some of that stress.
It really is, and you've got to understand this is unexpected. That you one day you're living your life, things are going along, and the next day a life-threatening event happens where you think you're going to die. And people have, you know, been ringing their family and friends saying, I think this is it, I'm not going to be here for much longer. Then they move through that and they survive. Thank goodness they survive, but that has changed them. It's changed them inside, and you need to be able to process that. It's not something you just go, yeah, I'm moving on, I'm back on my feet again. It's the challenge that people have is how do you get on with life once that's happened to you? What do you do next?
Many of our listeners, of course, would know someone who's affected by this bushfire season, whether it's in the New South Wales South Coast right now or in Victoria or more broadly. This has been going on now since September across Australia. Can you share with us just how people might be able to help friends and family who are suffering?
Yeah.
What sort of conversations do you need to have, and what do you need to be looking out for?
Well, I think the first thing you need to look out for is to have empathy and to just be able to give a listening place, a safe place where people can tell this story. It's really meaningful to them. Something's happened to them and they want to express that story. Let them tell it without judgment or saying, oh, no, this is what I would have done in those circumstances. Just let them tell that story, because I think talking helps. But there are people who will be suffering from this from quite some time. And if you start to develop symptoms where you just can't think about anything else, you've got extreme feelings of distress, stress and, you know, emotional reactions that are lasting longer than a few weeks, then probably you need some help. And a good place to start is the New South Wales Mental Health Line. I can give that number. It's 1-800-011-511. 1-800-011-511. If you're worried about somebody, have a listen to their story, and then if they continue to have symptoms into the next few weeks, then that's the number that I'll be calling to get some professional assistance.
This morning I'm speaking with David Bone. He's a counsellor with the New South Wales Health Department, based now at the Evacuation Centre in Beagan on the New South Wales South Coast. David, many of Australians have seen those harrowing pictures of children fleeing the fires with their families. How do you talk to the children? I'm assuming you're seeing them at the evacuation centre. How are you dealing with them?
Look, I think that the challenge there is that the parents know their kids best and they're closely connected to their children about how they're going with it. But you need to have a realistic discussion. You need to say that these are serious events and they're life-threatening events, and mum and dad are scared. You can be scared. It's okay to normalise their feelings and validate them and say, yeah, it's okay. What you're going through is perfectly normal under the situation that we're in. But hopefully mum and dad are going to do the right thing and keep you as safe as we can, take you to a safe place. We will get through it, and we're here for you.
Earlier we spoke to Paul Preston, who runs the Mallacoota Caravan Park, and there are many holidaymakers there. They're of course trapped in Mallacoota at the moment, but he made the comment that today it was quite quiet in his caravan park. A lot of people were sort of bunkering down, sleeping in, but the kids were sort of playing up. But I'm assuming that's fairly normal behaviour a couple of days after a real trauma.
Oh, look, I think so. And I think if the kids weren't playing, that would be something to worry about.
Oh, playing up, I think.
Oh, yeah, well, we've seen plenty of that.
That's,
you know,
3 days too, I guess.
Yeah, 3 days in an evacuation centre is enough to test the patience of just about anybody, I think. Yeah, that's right.
And I asked you a little bit about the practical support that you obviously will be helping those that you're counselling with. Are you able to direct things? Have things been coordinated well enough for you to be able to funnel people to the right places? Is that information available? Because we are hearing some frustration about confusing messages and a lack of information.
Yeah, look, and I think for the people, and I can only talk about the people that I've seen in the evacuation centre because that's where my purview has been limited to, but they've been very well provided for in terms of the logistics, the food, the accommodation, security. Information has been really good as well. So they have a briefing generally a couple of times a day, and we've had the mayor there, we've had people from the police, and they come in and give a very detailed briefing, and then they answer every single question that's available. So in some ways, being at the evacuation centre is not just the safest place, it's also the best place to get that information.
Mm. And clearly there's concern now about weather coming, weather changing over the weekend and more dangerous fire situation potentially emerging on Saturday. That would be enhancing stress, I imagine, for those in the evacuation centre.
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned, you know, some of the people in the evacuation, this has never happened to them before. They've never been in this sort of emergency circumstance where they just can't get home and they're trapped and they're in a really foreign environment. And the stress that they're facing is just as valid as the stress that's happened, the tragedy that's happened to some other people as well. You've just got to say, yeah, I appreciate that. What's happening to you is real. The feelings that you're having are right. You are right to be scared. It's okay to have those feelings and to express them.
We also earlier today spoke to the federal member for Eden Monaro, Mike Kelly, who spoke about the impact of these fires and this disaster on some of the more rural areas of his electorate, particularly for those with livestock, and real concern about livestock now being trapped. As I said, you've been a drought councillor across the southeast of New South Wales. I imagine that this is just another blow for those farmers on top of what has already been an extreme drought.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is my day job. I normally am out there day-to-day talking to farmers about the drought and about dealing with the stresses that that causes. And you're absolutely right. You know, if you've got no fodder left on your property, all that's burned down in your shed, if what available grassland is now being gone, you've got some big problems, plus carting the water, plus the road access issues. They're really significant challenges that farmers are going to have to deal with, and that won't be resolved today, and maybe not next week. This is a month into the future that we're looking at, that farmers will still be struggling both with that stress and those logistical issues.
We know that there are real concerns around the mental health of many farmers across Australia who are dealing with drought. Are you worried about the impact of this disaster on top of that?
Yeah, 100%. I am. You know, and for a lot of farmers, you know, we've been surprised by their resilience and how the drought is just another one of the challenges that they've been able to face, and they've seen challenges before. But when you have so much, when you have this absolute tsunami of bad things happening to you, how do you deal with that? How are you able to deal with that level of stress and all those sort of issues? It's really, really tough. And I think that the challenge is that how are we going to support those people into the future, both logistically and for their mental health, is going to be a challenge.
David Bone, thank you for taking time out to talk to us this morning.
My pleasure, Cathy. Thanks.